Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. I'm chatting with Ed Moya, Senior Market Analyst over at Oanda. Now Ed, I feel like we're forced to talk about the news that broke late last night, and that is the positive COVID test result from President Trump. This is obviously adding a bit of uncertainty to the markets and a bit of uncertainty to the election overall. It's still just a new story, and we don't know how bad Trump's case is going to get. We don't know a lot of details when it comes to future debates and future campaigning either. But turning to the actual financial markets, I don't know. I feel like the markets are having a bit of a muted response to this. The S&P, the Dow, NASDAQ, they all opened up a bit lower than where they're trading right now. But besides the NASDAQ, the Dow and the S&P, they're not even down a full percent. Let's start there with the U.S. equity market moves. Markets hate uncertainty. This is uncertainty. However, look, the moves right now are a little bit more muted than I'm sure some of the bears would like to see.
No, I very much agree. And I think what we have to take into consideration is, you know, coming into Friday. So as many Americans went to bed last night, there was expectations that you were going to have a good amount of focus on the employment report that was going to come out. And there was expectations it was going to be a little bit disappointing. And so you saw a lot of risk already taken off. And I think what happened was the Trump's COVID diagnosis really, you know, stunned many Americans, but what it really did was it just threw another boatload of uncertainty to the outlook for just the next couple of months. And I think right now you're seeing that this really provides us with a big question mark as far as, well, if Trump's, you know, virus situation spreads in the White House and across other lawmakers, you know, is this really going to just kind of pretty much solidify that there is no chance that we're going to get more fiscal stimulus before the election? I think that right now you're seeing that a good amount of you know, the focus this week was on whether or not Pelosi and Mnuchin were able to kind of break that impasse and reach an agreement. And this new development is really providing a lot of concern. It's going to probably see that you're not going to have many face-to-face meetings. I think that you're going to see many officials are going to be, lawmakers are going to be quarantining. And I think that you're going to have that everyone's just going to be waiting to see exactly, you know, how bad is the president's case. They're going to try to see exactly what other key officials contract the virus. And also, too, what's really going to be a big focal point, too, is the presidential election. You know, this week, there was the first presidential debate, and we really saw that for the most part, after the election, it was rather chaotic, but we saw that, you know, Biden did pretty well, but he had a slight bump in some polls. And I think, you know, his lead has grown. And I think that the market's reaction right now is Wall Street's been slowly starting to price in that we're going to see a change at the White House. And that right now it's somewhat weaker, but I think what you're going to see is that all of this uncertainty pretty much just cements, you know, the something we've been talking about all year. It's that Fed put, and right now, I think that we saw really no action from the Fed at their September 16th meeting, and I think you're going to see that next week there's going to be a big focus on these minutes that are going to come out, because what we're going to see is the Fed is going to provide us with some explanation as far as what is going to be required for them to tighten. You're going to see whether or not they discuss or how close they are to increasing their asset purchases. And the same thing is going to happen for the ECB, which is also going to release their minutes next week. So I think right now you're seeing, yes, there is some weakness here, but the prospects that you're going to have the Fed and the ECB possibly show some signs next week that we're getting closer No one was doubting that we're going to get more stimulus. The economic recovery, you know, has not been as V-shaped as everyone has hoped for, and you're probably going to see that we're going to be, I think, still discussing this whole stimulus trade. And right now, the balance sheet's going to grow. There's going to be a lot more reasons to become more optimistic for risky assets, because you're going to have central banks, you know, providing a lot more accommodation going forward.
Well, that is the expectation. That is even what central banks, for the most part, have told us. But it seems like when it comes to the Fed is stuck saying we need a little bit of government support. But it seems like that government support is stalled again. And it was actually stalled before this positive test later in the day yesterday. Talking about this economic recovery, though, looking at the payrolls number from this morning, payrolls grew by 661,000. This is well below the estimate of 859,000. The private sector, they added the most jobs there. But overall, this jobs number is just further confirming something that you mentioned, is that the economic recovery is slowing. It's not this V-shaped recovery. Fine, we got this initial bounce back that I think we all could expect there, the low-hanging fruit, the low-hanging jobs that were taken. But now, as we're grinding through what looks to be the start of another second wave of COVID, the economy is really going to be stuck in the mud here. So I realize that economic data doesn't really seem to drive markets, but is it going to be the economic data that pushes the Fed into doing something more? Is it going to be the government actually getting something done, although that seems like a long shot now? Or is it going to be the markets taking a dramatic fall and forcing the Fed's hand for this further Fed put?
I think, and the Fed has done a great job in, you know, clarifying, you know, what they're primarily focused on right now. And the labor market recovery is key. And when we take a look at this report, it was for the most part, I think, disappointing across the board. You're seeing that, yes, the jobless rate did decline, but this is because Americans are leaving the workforce, and that is not a good sign. I think one of the key areas that you're going to see many people focus on is all, you know, corporate America is starting to queue up the announcement of many job cuts that are likely to happen. Disney, the airline, they're all talking about massive layoffs. And even this non-farm payroll report, we saw the biggest decline in government jobs since May. We're having just a steady flow of just negative news for employment, and that is going to be, you know, easily reflected upon the upcoming consumer income spending data points. You're going to see a lot more softness in the outlook for the economy, and this is not going to be good for the upcoming earnings season. And I think what's going to be very important to take a look at too is you have the Fed focused on, you know, as you mentioned, you know, what Congress is going to do. And I think that the inability to get something done before the election really is just going to force the Fed to do more. And I think that, you know, most people were anticipating that we would probably see some further action from the Fed, possibly at the December meeting, but it might have to be a lot sooner. The divide in Congress, you know, we're talking between 2.2 trillion and 1.6. I think that it's been politicized, and you're seeing you're going to see both sides. It normally you see something get done right before a key deadline, but like it seems like we're just consistently passing each important benchmark, whether it was before the government ran out of funding last month, or before certain economic data releases, there's been a lot of people focused on the expiration of other benefits, and the inability of Congress to deliver more is really starting to get reflected, I think, in these numbers. And you're probably going to see that the expectations are going to just be for the you know, we're talking about roughly $2 trillion. But if things continue to go as they are, you know, it's likely it's going to be a lot more than $2 trillion. So the pressure is going to just continue to grow for more accommodation, and that's why you're probably still seeing investors be optimistic about the stock market and buying every major dip. And it goes, you know, what's kind of like the carrot that's being dangled in front of us is that, you know, there's tremendous expectations that we're going to have a massive infrastructure spending bill announced. And if Biden has a blue wave, if the Democrats take the Senate, and if he wins, there's a good chance that you're going to see something announced, you know, in those first couple of months. And that would be extremely positive for the cyclicals. And that would be something that many people will be trying to get ahead of that trade. So there's a lot of question marks as far as what's going to happen leading up to the election and when we'll actually get those results. But I think right now you're starting to see investors are starting to price in that we could possibly get those election results 2 weeks after November 3rd, and that it's leaning towards a Biden victory and possibly the Democrats taking back the Senate, which would be for strong sweeping reform, which might be tough on big tech, but I think you'll see the cyclical shine. And what is needed for stocks to regain their mojo and to kind of continue that march towards uncharted territory is you needed to have cyclicals start to outperform. And it looks like that might be the case. So a lot of question marks, a lot of things where things can go right or wrong. But right now, it seems that investors still want to be constructive in getting back into the stock market, as there's still a tremendous amount of money on the sidelines.
Yeah, fair enough. But there is still just so much uncertainty, right? And even tying it into some of these other markets outside of just what's going to happen to the election, though, gold was volatile last night. It did make a move up to about that 1920 region, but now it's sold back off. And first couple hours of trading this morning, it's gotten a little bit of a buy on the futures market, sitting just above, right around 1910, let's call it, on the spot market, sitting around 1905. So we haven't seen that much movement into gold due to this increased uncertainty. US dollar, that's up a little bit, but still not a very big up move compared to even what it was doing last week. Treasuries, those got their yields are up a little bit. They actually opened the day lower. So another volatile market there. Does this just go to show how much uncertainty and how much lack of clarity there is that we're not actually seeing anything take charge here of a safety trade during this added uncertainty?
I love the way you brought the conversation here, because gold, you know, for the most part, you know, it seems that throughout this pandemic, you know, we saw it get punished during times of violent market sell-offs, and it was like, what happened to being a safe haven? Gold, it was reacting to that dollar move, and it seems that the dollar rebound has run its course. And right now, what we're starting to see is that gold is holding up fairly nicely, considering the sell-off we've seen in equities. And for the most part this week, gold has steadily climbed higher. I think that there was a big amount of fear that, you know, at the end of last week, that the momentum selling was going to continue, that, you know, we were barely holding on to 1850. And now it seems that 1850 was the key level. It did attract a lot of a longer-term interest. And right now, I think that you're unlikely to see a complete scramble where you have a massive move here in the dollar right now. It seems that there's just too much accommodation that is going to be announced in the coming months that it's providing a little bit of a reason why you're not going to expect the dollar to really amount to a strong rally. And gold could be ready for a strong comeback here, I think, because the traditional safe haven role could actually return. And I think this rising uncertainty as far as whether it's the possibility of what we'll see happen as far as new policies or failed stimulus discussions, incremental vaccine updates. There's all all these question marks that you're going to probably see that many investors are going to feel that the market volatility is going to boost confidence in people having gold in their portfolio. I think that you don't want to be overly committed into just jumping right into the stock market. I think right now the fundamental case is very supportive, but the volatility is going to remain in place. And I think you're going to see that many investors just are going to want to diversify back into gold as that. And right now there's probably going to be, I think, rising expectations that, the stimulus trade is going to increase, not just in the U.S. and by the ECB, but other central banks. You know, for the last couple of months, we've seen a lot of their decisions just deliver keeping rates on hold or easing the pace of their rate cuts. It looks like that the economic recovery has not just stalled in U.S. and the risks of these rising restrictive measures and lockdowns are going to cripple activity, and you're going to probably see much of the emerging market world and some parts of Asia become a little bit more generous in their stimulus efforts.
Oh boy, it's just all about stimulus, isn't it? Stimulus and a slow economic recovery. Just trying to get back to a slow economic situation that we had before COVID. But boy, oh boy, there's so much more to talk about. 2020, boy, it's been pretty messy. And I think that the continued move into at least the U.S. election, probably through year end, probably continued to be messy. But hey, Ed, it gives us a lot to talk about, and sometimes good, sometimes bad. Ed, thanks for your time on this Friday. I hope you have a great weekend.
Thank you. You too.